Well, I won't
back. And I went back down to all of his stand for a smaller, leaner, less intrusive government. Joining me on the hotline right now, somebody not only do I respect, but actually millions of people across the country, Professor Dr. William Jacobson of Cornell University, graduate of Harvard Law, runs the law blog Legal Insurrection. William Jacobson.
Hi, how are you?
Professor, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on.
I've got your blog open here at Legal Insurrection. Meet Obama's SCOTUS nominee, Merrick Garland. I love your line. He doesn't look anything like me. I'm still wondering why you were not nominated, but you were not nominated for the court. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, I don't think I ever will be. I don't think, as long as we have a Democratic president, and I don't think I'd make it through the Senate anyway, having written over 10,000 blog posts.
I would say you have a fair trail. What do we know about Merrick Garland? Do we know anything? Listen, we are I would say, libertarian in that we are very pro the Bill of Rights, pro the Constitution. We believe in a smaller, leaner, less intrusive government. Where do we stand with somebody like Judge Garland?
Well, I think he is somebody who, in another world, in another time, might have been deemed an appropriate nominee for the Supreme Court, but there's two problems. The first one is he'd be replacing the, you know, beacon of conservatism on the court, Antonin Scalia. So you're really replacing a leading conservative light with somebody who's a perfectly fine judge and probably would be perfectly fine on the Supreme Court if he were replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or if he were replacing somebody who would be a centrist. So that's issue number one, is that it would be a very severe blow to the hope that we can restore a balance to the court to have somebody who's more of a centrist replacing a leading conservative on the court. The second issue is the politics, which is that in this political environment, there is no appetite on behalf of the vast majority of Republicans to put anybody that Obama nominates in his last year on the court for the next 10, 20, however long the person lives, years. So I think those are the two issues. In a different place, in a different time, maybe he would have been a perfectly appropriate appointee, but if Obama wanted him, could have appointed him earlier in his tenure instead of Elena Kagan, for example, who had no track record, who really was in very many ways a political appointment. Judge Garland could have been very easily selected for that spot, and I don't think it would have been particularly controversial.
No, not at all. In fact, my sister used to be a law professor at the University of Miami and a first woman law partner at Chesapeake Bone in Florida. She said that putting Elena Kagan on the court instead of somebody like Justice Merrick Garland was clearly, as you said, a political appointee. Garland would have skated right through. He would have been more like a – would you liken him to a Kennedy?
I don't know. I haven't – he's not somebody I've studied before. His name just came up today. I mean, I'm generally aware of him, so I can't pin him as being a particular – double on the court for somebody else, but he does certainly have a reputation. I think Orrin Hatch, even a few days ago, said that, dared Obama to nominate somebody like Merrick Garland, and I think Obama nominated him for that very reason. He's the type of judge who, in another environment, if it wasn't Obama's last year, I think probably would have made it through even a Republican Senate.
We're talking with Professor William Jacobson, graduate of Harvard Law School, also graduate of Hamilton College. My brother went to Colgate, so I'm familiar with the area.
Which is in Hamilton, New York.
Which is in Hamilton, New York, right. And now Hamilton College, it's not in Hamilton, New York, is that right?
It's in Clinton, New York.
Clinton, New York. But it's nearby.
About 40 minutes away.
And a graduate of Harvard Law School as well. Runs the blog, the legal blog, Legal Insurrection. It's a great blog. The professor is really, he gives some great commentary and some funny commentary. We're all trying to figure out why we're looking at Merrick Garland instead of William Jacobson up there, but it was not your time, apparently. So my question is, will he get through? Now, we just saw Mitch McConnell standing up while you were on hold. Mitch McConnell was on Fox News. We could see him standing in the well of the Senate saying that There is no way, you know, the president is wasting his time. We're doing our constitutional duty in advice and consent, and our advice is don't send anybody over. So you're not taking our advice, but we're fulfilling our constitutional duty. Are they indeed fulfilling their constitutional duty, Professor, or are they going to be pressured into actually talking to this nominee?
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires them to talk to anybody. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires them to actually vote on anybody. It's not even clear that the president has a constitutional obligation to nominate somebody. The Constitution talks about the president shall nominate, but the way it appears in the sentence and in the specific provision, it's simply indicating that the president is the one who nominates. It doesn't mean there's an obligation for the president to nominate somebody, but president did. I don't think you can fault him for that. He has the right to nominate. Maybe he has the obligation. That's an open question. But he has the right to nominate somebody. But that's all he has the right to do. You know, it's up to the Senate to confirm that person or not. And I don't think there's anything there that requires the Senate to actually do anything. That's a political issue, obviously, but I don't think it's a constitutional issue. And a number of people who are not, you know, necessarily right of center have written similar things. And so the Senate can do what it wants. That's how the system's set up. Whether it's a good system or whether it's a bad system, that is the way it's set up. But it's just a nomination at this point. It's nothing more than that unless and until the Senate confirms.
So when the president stands in the Rose Garden, pardon me for interrupting, when the president stands in the Rose Garden and said, I've done my constitutional duty, now you guys in the Senate, you have to fulfill your constitutional duty, they have no constitutional duty to even listen to the nominee, do they?
That's right. They don't.
So the press, however, I imagine, since they're generally on the side of the president, the press will say, probably will put pressure, I'm sure, on the Senate on this one. But Mitch McConnell sounds like he's not going to back down.
Well, I didn't hear what he just said, but that's certainly been the line that people have been pursuing. And I think that it would just be a fury within the Republican Party if they were to put this to a vote. There have been many justices over the years or proposed judges over the years who've not gotten an up and down vote because they've been blocked by the Democrats. And certainly Obama, I believe, and certainly Biden is on record in old videos saying that it's not appropriate for a president to nominate somebody in the final year of his term. So there's plenty, no side has purely clean hands here. It's a political match. It's a political game. And one of the reasons that somebody is being proposed now is for political reasons. In my inbox, I don't know how I got on all these mailing lists, but I seem to be on the mailing list of every liberal judicial outfit who's been emailing for a month now about how they're going to take political advantage if the Republicans refuse to at least vote up or down on somebody. So this is all politics. Neither side has clean hands. Everybody does what's good for them at the moment, and that's the way the system is set up, and the voters will decide. If the voters want to take it out on Republicans because they didn't meet with or vote on Merrick Garland, so be it. Or if the Republicans do and Republican voters want to take it out on them, it's a political system, and people should just recognize that as opposed to pretending that there's some constitutional obligation for the Senate to actually vote on this person.
Great insight. Professor William Jacobson of Cornell University, blogger at legalinsurrection.com. Professor Jacobson, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Great. Take care, Bob.
Have a good day. Thank you, everybody. See you all tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.